Good morning, church. Say good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here once again. First and foremost, thank you, Pastor Timothy, for giving me the opportunity to speak the Word of God with all of you once again. I am always so inspired by what God is doing right here in our midst. Greetings from every nation. Damansara as well. Thank you, you know, for the partnership and for the friendship that we are able to build the kingdom of God together, all right? So I'm glad to be able to gather back physically. I'm sure all of you are as well. Church is really about the gathering around the message that we celebrate, right? The message of hope, the message of life that we know of the death and the resurrection of Christ, all right? So first and foremost, allow me to just quickly introduce my family. That's my family, a recent picture just about a month and a half ago, Chinese New Year. So that's my wife, Jill, and Jill and I, we have been married for 14 years, okay? So that, praise God for that. The first 7 years was good, and the second 7 years were even better, all right? I have 4 kids. This year, it's really a year of transition for us. 3 of my children are actually transitioning into a new school. Kristen, my daughter eldest, she is transitioning into secondary school. She's 13. And Faith, the one sitting with me, she is 7, transitioning into a primary school. And Joash, the youngest, 4 years old, and he is starting his kindergarten. All right, so pray along with us. We thank you for being part of this Every Nation family. All right, so we are on this series called Foretold. And this is really a series about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason why it's foretold is because we want to look at the prophecies of Isaiah about this coming Messiah. Right? We all know about prophecies. We all know about prediction, whether it's football scores, general election, stock market. We are all familiar about prediction. Just 2 weeks ago, there was a school holiday. So I decided to bring my family to the zoo. Okay, my younger 2 have not been to the zoo before. So we thought that it's a good idea to bring them to the zoo on a Monday morning. So Sunday night, I was looking at the weather forecast. You're talking about prediction, right? I was looking at a weather forecast, and it says the next morning, it's going to be thunderstorm. All right? So I had a dilemma. I had a decision to make. Do we still go through with the plan? But I remembered, it was Sunday night, yeah? That Sunday morning itself, it was hot. It was bright and sunny. And I look at the Sunday morning prediction, which was this morning, it also says thunderstorm. So obviously the prediction didn't come true. So we decided to go ahead with our plan. The next day we pack up the whole family, drove down to the zoo, and guess what? Thunderstorm, right? But we had a great, memorable time in the zoo nevertheless. But I thank God that the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ, it is not an afterthought. It is not something that didn't plan. Afterthought is something that we didn't plan. It's kind of like it's your wedding anniversary and you're driving home after work and a friend WhatsApp you and wish you happy anniversary and you suddenly remembered and you're scrambling to make plans for dinner, right? That's an afterthought. But the death, life, resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is not an afterthought. God has planned it from the beginning when men fall, and God's redemption plan is already in the works. And the prophecies of Isaiah is so interesting, it's so amazing, is because it's all done 700 years before Jesus Christ was actually born. So today, we want to talk about Christ as the faithful witness. I know last 2 weeks, you know, we have talked about how Christ is the wise king, and last week we talked about how Christ is the humble servant. So today, we want to take a look at the passage of Isaiah and see how that this Messiah, this Jesus that we serve, is a faithful witness. You know, faithfulness is easier said than done, right? It's not easy to be faithful in this world today. Now, it's easy to do something right one time or to do something right for a season. It's easy to serve God. It's easy to follow after God's word. It's easy to be spiritually charged up for a season. But it's another thing to be faithful over and over and over and over again. Today's culture, we live in a society whereby potentially it's a little bit more challenging to be faithful, whether it's whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, but just generally. So in the same way, sitting here or watching, tuning in, I believe that every single one of us, we want to be faithful in our spiritual walk, right? We want to be faithful in our faith so that at the end of the day, when we meet our Savior face to face, we can all hear that words, well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. faithful servant. And I believe that God wants us to have that faith to overcome life challenges, to overcome the different pressures of life so that we can be faithful. So now let's take a look at the verses of Isaiah. This was written when the nation of Israel, they were living in a time whereby they are oppressed by their enemies, whereby God allowed them to be invaded, to be oppressed, and they have forsaken God. Right, they have rebelled against God, they have disobeyed, and they have gone into idolatry and wickedness. So that is the state of the nation of Israel at that time of this writing. And Isaiah was talking about the message of judgment as well as hope. Judgment as well as hope. You know, sometimes in church, we only want to hear the feel-good verses, right? We only want to hear the verses that we can retweet, or we can put into our Insta, or we can quote. But how many guys know that we need the whole Bible? Okay, we need the whole Bible. It's good for you, it's good for me. So Isaiah chapter 50, this is a conversation that God is having with his people through prophet Isaiah. So verse 1 starts with, "Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce, which I sent her away? Or by which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgression your mother was sent away." So over here, Isaiah was using two pictures, two illustrations to kind of describe the state of the people, the nation of Israel. And they were far away from God. They felt that they were abandoned by God. So they were accusing God for abandoning them. They were accusing God for forsaking them and allow destructions and bad things to happen to them. And God was questioning them back. Where is the evidence? Where is the proof? Where is the certificate of divorce? That's the illustration used. And he says, they were in slavery, they were in debt. Again, they were questioning God, "God, why do you allow us to be in debt?" Again, God is saying that it's your own fault. It is your own iniquities you were sold. It is for your own transgression, your own disobedience, your own rebellion. You know, sometimes we get into the situation that we are in because of our own wrongdoing. Sometimes we get into a relational mess or financial mess or spiritual mess. Is because of the decisions that we have made on our own. And then we turn around and we question God, "God, why do you abandon me?" I remember a conversation that I had with one guy. This was potentially more than 10 years ago. And he wanted to get rich quick, right? He was telling me that, you know, "Sean, I really feel that I want to get rich quick. I'm tired of waiting. You know, I'm not young anymore. I want to make it. I want to prove to people." And he was sharing with me his plans. He was working, his plans that he wanted to venture in, and it didn't really sound quite right to me. You know, I told him, "Maybe you should stay put, maybe you should pray, maybe you should wait, maybe you should be patient, maybe you should trust God." And he was stubborn. You know, he says, no, I want to go into this deal because these things, I want to, you know, stop my job and go into this because I'm tired of waiting. Right? So I didn't hear from him for a year and a half. He no longer contact us. And 1.5 years later, we catch up again. He texted me, we catch up again. And he told me that, you know, obviously things didn't work out and he was very depressed. He racked up thousands and thousands of debt. His business, he had to change his handphone number because, you know, he doesn't want people to contact him. And he asked me, "Why did God allow this to happen to me?" And I was lost for words. You know, sometimes in life, it's hard for us to be faithful in a sense because we bring troubles upon ourselves. Because of our pride, because of our greed, because of our shift in priorities, because of our insecurity, because of our jealousy or whatever, because of our disobedience. We know that if we go down this path, it's not really seeking God first, but instead we go ahead and ask God to bless it instead. And sometimes down the road, we find ourselves in that situation and we find it hard to be faithful. So the question is, are we bringing troubles upon ourselves? Sometimes, number two, it's hard to be faithful because trouble has happened to us. I think there's a typo there. Sometimes it's hard to be faithful because the troubles of life happen to us. You may be following God, you may be trusting God, you may be doing things God's way. But how many guys know that life happens, right? Life happens. Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles. There are bad things that happen around us. One of my life group leader, his mother in a hometown, she's a believer, and she recently had to go through an eye surgery because the nerve was detached from the cornea, okay, one of the eye. And after the surgery, this was just about maybe a week and a half ago, after the surgery, she was asked by the doctor to rest her eye on the pillow so that the nerve of the eye can rest on the eye for 15 hours a day, not including sleeping. For 15 hours, she had to do this for 2 to 3 weeks. How many guys know that that's a huge challenge? That's depressing, that's discouraging. But when he asked the mom, how's the mom doing? You know what the mom said? The mom said that, you know what, it's like the posture of praying. And she says that she will take this time praying to God. And she said that, wow, what a beautiful response. You know, when life challenges hit her, yes, it's hard to be faithful, but she can. She chose to be faithful. And what a beautiful perspective. And I'm so encouraged. At the same time, one of my life group, one of our family life group, their name is Stefan and Maggie. And Maggie just gave birth to their third child, right? This was maybe 2 months ago. And how many of you guys know that there is a transition? They have two younger, older kids, and obviously it was a busy time. And 1 week into her confinement, right, 1 week into her confinement, her second child, 18 months old Hannah, there was an accident at home, and she was kind of burned with a boiling hot water soup, basically. And Hannah, the 18-month daughter, had to be hospitalized, and they had to go through 5 surgeries in 5 days. How many guys know that that is a challenging situation? Her mother is in confinement just 1 week after giving birth to the third one. This thing happened. The father had to be in the hospital. And within the same 1-2 months, the newborn, they found out that they had to go through a certain procedure. Okay, there was a certain issue that they had to go through a surgery, and the baby had to stay overnight. Once again, another challenge within that 1-2 months. And the husband, Stefan, one day he was outside and he was chased and bitten by a dog in the neighborhood, and he had to get a jab. Okay, it's okay, but he had to get a jab. And they were asking, in the span of 2 months, why, God, all this thing happens all at the same time? How many of you guys know that that is the troubles of life? So I asked them, how do they get through this? How is their faith? And they said that, you know, there's nothing much they can do except to pray. And they say that the peace of God guide them through that challenging 2 months. It's hard to be faithful sometimes, but we can. We can. You know, during this pandemic, many of you, you may be facing dark financial situation, business, job uncertainty. I know of people that got retrenched. I know of people that had to shut down their retail business. It is challenging time and facing tremendous amount of pressure. Maybe sitting here, you are facing tremendous amount of pressure. Storms in life, hopelessness. But I want you to know that we can still remain faithful. Now let's take a look at the example of Jesus as we move on. And God replied them, and this is when God tells them that no matter what happened, God is still in control. And God says, why when I came, was there no man? Why when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heaven with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. So God is saying that, hey, I am still in control. God is saying that regardless of your storms in life, your pressure, your challenges, guess what? I am still sovereign. I am still in full control. The power and the authority of God is unquestionable. Just now when Sister Chloe was talking about during worship leading, he says, even when we are faithless, God remain faithful. God is still faithful and God is still sovereign, even when we are not faithful. And then as we went on Isaiah, it is almost as if Jesus turned to speak through Isaiah. So this is almost like Jesus is speaking through Isaiah. So Jesus is saying, "The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." Okay, remember, Isaiah was talking about the coming Messiah. So this is about the Messiah, that this Messiah is going to have the word to be able to speak to those who are weary. And we see that in Jesus Christ, right? Jesus, when he walked on earth in the gospel, he says, "Come, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you what? Give you what? Rest." Not give you, you know, holiday, or the holidays are great. Leisure and entertainment is great, but it is not rest. Sometimes we think rest is sitting in front of the TV and binge hours and hours of drama series. That's leisure and entertainment. That's not real rest. But Jesus is saying that, hey, you have burden, you have pressure, I will give you rest. And that we see that in Jesus. That was the prophecy of Isaiah. And he went on, he says, "Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear those who are taught." And we know Jesus Christ in the gospel, he wakes up early in the morning to spend time with Jesus, right? To spend time with God. He wakes up early. You know, Christianity, first and foremost, it is a relationship with God. It is a relationship. And Jesus modeled that for us. And that's why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was able to respond with faith, with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. Why? Because he has spent time with God. So in the same way, if we take on that model, we can be faithful when we spend time with God daily. Whatever we spend time in will come out when we face pressure. This is just fun statistics. This is Malaysian statistics. It says that about 70+% of internet users use smartphone to access, and about 2/3 of Malaysians have access to internet. And it says that an average Malaysian spend about 5.1 hours on the internet daily. An average, a few sources here, some says 5.1, an average of 2 hours and 58 minutes spent on social media. Okay, Straight Times put their local spends 5 hours on social media daily. It's the, instead of morning by morning, he awakens us. When we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we do is to scroll our social media, is to look at news feed, is to look at notification. And we spend hours on social media, right? And the question is, how much time do we spend time with God? Whatever we soak ourselves in will come out when pressure comes. It's just like a sponge, right? We put it into a water, we soak it in, but when we squeeze it, whatever that we have been soaking in, it will come out. In the same way, if we have not been spending time with God in prayer, in worship, in reading the Word, in daily communion with God, how do we expect to respond in a way that is Spirit-filled when life pressure comes upon us? If we have been spending time in all the news, all the games, all the online thing, and when pressure comes, those things will come out. Anger or blame or apathy, or those things will come out, disappointment and discouragement. But I want to encourage you all sitting here, if we spend time with God in His Word, it can be morning, evening, while you're driving, before you sleep, doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. But when you spend time with God, when the challenges of life comes, then the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the will of God, the character of God, the virtues of God will come out. Amen? All right, let's move on. And Jesus continues. He says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward." And here he was referring to an Old Testament custom whereby the slave, they will pierce their ears, okay, to signify that they belong to the master. And after seven years of working, the slave will have a choice to walk as a free man or to continue to serve under this master. So Jesus is saying that, I am a slave, I'm a servant. to God. And verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. And obviously this was prophesying and foretelling the encounter going up to the cross where Jesus will be arrested, he will be spat on, he will be ridiculed, he will be flogged. And that was being foretold. But the Lord helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. You know what's a flint? You know when they use arrow or when there's a knife, the tip of the stone, or the tip of the arrow, that's the hardest part when the blacksmith, when they do that, the tip of the arrow, that's the most hardest part. And Jesus is saying, I've set my face like a flint. He is so determined that I know that I shall not be put to shame. Jesus was being a faithful witness to the end. Remember that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, in the gospel, when Jesus was being faced with arrest, he prayed to God, right? He says, Abba Father, if you can take away this cup, please take away. But nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And Jesus was faithful even to the end, even though he knew that suffering will come, and he is faithful till the end. You know, besides spending time with God, we can be faithful when we fix our eyes on Jesus. Right? Sometimes life plans do not go our way. Sometimes we need to change our plans because things just didn't work out. Maybe we received that medical report, or maybe there is a devastating news that we have received, or maybe, you know, financially we have been deteriorating for some time. But you know what? We can be faithful to the end when we fix our eyes on Jesus. In the same way, when Jesus fixed his eyes on the cross, he was faithful till the end, even till the death. So we can emulate that. I want to share a story as we end. This story is it's the London Marathon in 2017. Okay, how many guys run? How many guys do running? How many guys run late sometimes? Some people run, some people run late. Okay. This is a London Marathon 2017, and there was a runner by the name of Matthew Rees. Okay, he's the guy on the white. Matthew Rees was on the way to finish the marathon with his personal best time. Personal best time, and as he turns the corner at the 300 meters mark, as he turns the corner, because there's a big sign, 300 meters, 200 meters, he saw a stranger by the name of David Wyatt, okay, the guy in black, standing up and wobbly and coming down. And as you run, sometimes you come to a stage whereby your body just shuts down. Your body is just so exhausted that it refused to function. And he saw this David guy was struggling, leg wobbly and trying to stand up but couldn't, and his eyes was kind of in a daze, and he knew that this guy is going to struggle. And he called to David. He says, come on, you can do it. The finishing line is just there. You can do it. But this guy fell down again, and he could see that his desire to finish was there. But physically, he knew he wouldn't be able to make it. So Matthew decided, okay, and in this interview, he says he decided to help him. So he put his arms around his shoulder and began to encourage him. He began to say, come on. You can do this. We can do this together. The finishing line is just there. We can cross it together. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. We can do this. We can do this. We'll cross the line together. And they did. And there was a big, and the people around them were cheering. Obviously, people saw what they did, and people began to cheer, and it became a media sensation, and he was interviewed. But I want to draw a picture of that, and that picture is the picture of the gospel. You know, sometimes in life we feel like giving up. We feel like, wow, this is just so difficult. This sickness comes back again. The medical report, time and time, we have gone through so much procedure and it's the same. Or feel like this strained relationship, maybe with our children, maybe with one of our family members, maybe it's just so difficult. Maybe it's multiple business dealings and we didn't see breakthrough and we feel like, oh, this is so hard. Maybe spiritually, okay, you're trying to get out, but there are things that begin to hold you back and you thought, this is so difficult. But that picture is the picture of the gospel when Jesus come alongside us and Jesus says, don't give up. I like what Hebrews 12 says, 1-2. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great of a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us. And that's the word. It says, let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking unto Jesus. Remember, setting our eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can be faithful if we set our eyes on Jesus. Why don't we stand? I want to pray for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I want to pray for some of us, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching online. If you feel that you are weary, you are facing pressure, and your desire is that you say, God, I want to go on, but it's so hard. Maybe you feel like you want to give up. Maybe it has been years. Maybe you have been far away from God. I don't know. And you feel like, is faith even real? I want to encourage you to set your eyes on Jesus and allow Jesus to come alongside with you and tell you, don't give up. I'm here for you. We will get through this together. We will see the finishing line together. And as we set our eyes on Jesus, we allow Jesus to be the author and perfecter of our faith. In a Christian walk, this faith, this relationship is really not about how well we start, but it's about how we end. We know of people who started well and well for a season, serve God for a season, on fire for God for a season, for years even. But somewhere along the line, troubles happen, life happens, challenges happens. But I want to encourage you, faithfulness. Faithfulness is about doing the right thing over and over again and until we finish the finishing line. And we can hear the word from our Master, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let us pray. God, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, God, for your word today. That if you feel that you are in that spot, I want you to raise your hands as a sign of faith. Say, if you are in that spot whereby it's challenging, you're facing pressure, you feel like giving up, you feel so much challenges around you. I see those hands. God, I pray, God, even as they raise those hands, I pray that you will come alongside with them, that your Holy Spirit will come on upon them, God. You will fill them, you will guide them, you will give them the peace, you will strengthen them, you will strengthen the legs, you will strengthen their heart, you will strengthen their spirit, oh Lord. You will give them rest, oh Lord. You will give them peace, oh God, Lord. You will inspire them so that they can continue on, oh God, Lord, their race. They can continue on their journey of faith, oh Lord. God, we thank you, oh Lord. We thank you. We can look to you as the role model for us, as a faithful servant, as a faithful witness, oh Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.